Tonight, we're going to go over a scripture that is really important. 1 John 5:18. Now let's just read what it says. It says in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 5, "We know that whoever is born of God sinneth not." That means doesn't habitually sin anymore. "But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not." In other words, you're not going to be in a position where you got to constantly chase the enemy out of your life from getting involved. He's not going to be able to touch you if you do what this verse says. And it says that if you'll keep yourself, whatever that means, and that's what we're going to be studying, what does this mean, he won't be able to touch us. There's some things that we can do that will make it easier for us to keep the enemy out of our lives. And what I want to talk about tonight, the first one, is step one, have a desire to learn about God and his ways. Because if you don't have this, you're never going to apply yourself to the point where you're going to learn what you have to do to keep the enemy off your back. So first of all, you have to have a desire to do it. If you're just going to be a Christian, you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven and God loves you, but you're just going to live in this earth and just barely live in the fringes of everything God gave you and never really enter into all the mighty rights and privileges that we have as Christians, you'll not enjoy this because you won't be doing the things to keep the enemy off your back. Because some people, and you know, I'm not saying this in a negative way, I'm just saying some people just don't seem to have a really great desire to go all the way as a Christian. They find some sort of little area they can live in. I hope you understand that I'm not saying that these Christians they're not going to the same place we are. I'm just saying they're not, somehow they either don't know or they decided that they're just happy with a little plateau that they're resting on and they don't have a desire to go any deeper. I don't know. It just seems like everyone has a free will and some people just kind of choose to kind of live in this in-between area or something. They're still saved and everything, but they just don't have a lot of victory in their lives. So step one is really have a desire to learn about God and his ways. Now, early on in my Christian experience, this was a decision that God confronted me with. And it basically went like this. Do you want to go all the way with me? And I said, yeah, I really do. In fact, even before I got that question from God, there was something in my heart that just, I read Psalm 66:18. And it said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth." Somehow that scripture just resonated in my spirit. I thought, that's what I need. I need to be taught God's way so I can walk in his truth. I'm tired of walking in what I thought was my truth. And I found out that was nothing at all. I want to walk in your ways, God. Show me how to do this. And I would say over and over throughout the day, you know, maybe 20 or 30 times a day, whenever I would think about it, I would just say, as a brand new Christian, teach me thy way. That was the only scripture I knew. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I might walk in thy truth. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I might walk in thy truth. And so God took me at that word, and finally he just confronted me. I started getting tapes in the mail. I told you about that one time. He just started showing up my mailbox. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin. And he was teaching me. He moved on some Christian to send me these tapes. And then about after I got involved in some of these tapes and listening to what God had to say and learning things I had no idea about that were available for Christians, one day he just confronted me. He said, "Do you really want to go all the way with me? Would you like to do that? You're still my son. You're still saved. I still love you the same whether you do or not. But would you like to go deeper with me?" And he spoke to me through this scripture. And it's Joshua 1:7-8. And you know what that is, but let's take a look at it really quick. Joshua chapter 1. Through this scripture, God spoke to me. He was challenging me to go a little deeper with him. And he said, this is the way you do it. This is just like Joshua did. But you're going to have to be strong and very courageous to do this. Because the enemy doesn't like it when you set out in this course. Verse 7, Joshua 1:7, I'm going to read it myself. "Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law." Today we might say, according to what the Word of God says. Be strong and courageous. that you may observe to do. It's going to be strength and courage to do what God's word says do, because people aren't going to go along with it, and it's going to go in the opposite direction of the world, and people do not like it when people start heading off in the opposite direction of the world. You just look at the political scene in our country right now, the great division. Because in my heart, I believe that I really think our president really wants to do the right thing. I think he wants to go off and do things right. He wants to confront this war on terror, and he wants to stay with it until we're done. But he's got everybody in the whole world criticizing him right now. I mean, deeply criticized. He just keeps going. And I know in my heart the reason he can keep going is because he knows in his heart that God is with him and helping him in this thing. But see, you're going to have to be strong and courageous so you may observe to do according to what God's word says. And then it says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, what God is saying through this is, if you want to prosper in all that you set your hand to, everything you do in life, there is a way to do it. And the way to do it is to find out what my word has to say, and then do it, and be strong and courageous, because there's going to be some times when the world and even other Christians aren't going to agree this is the way to go. He said, it's the way it was with me, it's the way it's going to be with you. And if they criticize your master, how much more will they criticize the ones that follow the master? Jesus said, that's what he said in his Gospels. He said, you know, if they criticize me, they're going to criticize you too. In fact, he went so far as to say that woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Because if they are, you're doing something wrong. Because if you're living the full Christian life, it's going to make a lot of people mad. Okay, so if you want to prosper, though, if you want to have God's special blessing on your life, prosper wherever you go, then find out what the word has to say and then become a doer of it. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it every single day. Why? That's the only way you're going to be able to do what it says. That's what it says right here. In other words, if you just read it in a quick fashion in the morning, read your chapter, and then go off to work and spend 10 minutes in God's word, you're never going to get the depth of what you need during the day. So when a situation arises, say, what does the word say? How should I approach this problem? God says the ones who do it this way, though, there's a great blessing for them, because then they will prosper wherever they go, and you shall have good success. So God confronted me with this. He says, do you want to go deeper with me? When I read this, I was reading the scripture, and he just spoke to my heart. He said, do you want to go all the way with me? It's up to you. And I said, I'd like to. I've been telling you, teach me your way that I might walk according to your path. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I might walk according to your truth. I've been saying that, Lord. He said, well, I've heard you say that. But now I'm asking. I mean, this is what's going on in my heart. Do you want to go all the way with me? And I said, like Joshua. And I said, yes, I'd like to. And then I said, in fact, Lord, I'd like to make a deal with you. I said, I'll tell you what. What this scripture is saying to me here is that you're offering me a deal. You're offering me an option here. You're saying to me that if I will go all the way with you, if I will promise you that I will get into your word, find out what it says. I won't learn it all overnight. God knows that. He knows that. And as I learn, I will apply it to my life. But if I do this, Lord, your word says right here that you'll prosper me. I'll have good success. The Amplified Version says deal wisely in the affairs of life. That's the deal. My part is to get into your word and find out what it says and then do it. And your part then is to bless me with prospering and all that. And God, you know, my heart said, that's the deal. Do you want to do it? And I said, I do. And so I wrote it all down, wrote down what the scripture said, gave it, explained to the family the deal I believe the Lord was setting before us. Explained it to Mary Ann. She said, that's fine with me. And all the little kids, I tried to explain to them, and my little son was only 6 months old, but I couldn't explain it to him. But I did have everybody sign it, and even my little son kind of guided his hand in making a mark on it, because I figure, you know, we can make his decision for him when he's that young. And we just put this on our wall in a private part of our house. This is what we're going to do now. And things begin to happen. Wonderful things. My point tonight is not to dwell on what we did, but just to say that the first thing we really need, if we're going to keep ourselves, is have the desire to go deeper with God, to learn about God, learn about His ways, and put them into practice. It's more than just lip service to this. It's really getting involved in your heart with saying, okay, I've got a manual here. God, in His Word, in the New Testament, especially for Christians, says what He wants us to do. Situations come up in life every single day where we can apply what it says in here. And God says He'll do wonderful things for us when we do it His way. If you go back and look at the Old Testament, it's like a roller coaster. When they did it God's way, everything went up. When they didn't do it God's way, everything went down. They lost God's blessing. Then they'd go on for a generation or two. Some king would find the old scriptures again and say, hey, you know what? I found the Word of God in there. We haven't been doing any of this stuff. Let's do it. They'd all go, their fortunes would go up for a couple generations. Then they lose track sight of that again. They get another king there, didn't care anything about the Word of God, and everything would go shooting down again. And I thought, you know, there's a pattern here. I don't want to be like that. I want to live on top. And God just showed me how to do it. Let's do it. And so God began to work in our lives. So the first thing we have to do, step one, is have a desire to learn and do things God's way. Now, the Bible calls this desire, and I did not know this at the time, something, there's a name for it in the Bible. It's called the fear of the Lord. It does not mean being scared of God. In the Hebrew word for fear of the Lord, if you look up what it means to have a reverent awe and respect and desire and concern for God and His ways and to do things His way. That's what it means. Now, you know, I heard a man say one time that was preaching, he says, some people say the fear of the Lord doesn't mean being afraid of God. Oh, yes, it does. I heard him say from the pulpit, and I thought, oh, no, it doesn't. Because my Heavenly Father explained to me in a loving fashion what this means. Now, there is a certain fear that sinners have that, you know, of where they're going when they die, but this is not what this is talking about here. Does everyone understand this? I mean, is this a new topic? Because this is important. The fear of the Lord just means an awesome respect and desire to do things God's way, and a concern for God. And we'll find this out as we read what it is. Now, if you want to see what the fear of the Lord, the one who has this will, now let's turn to some scriptures here. Psalm 112. Turn to Psalm 112. To me, this is very interesting. I hope it's interesting to you. To me, this sums up, it just speaks to my heart. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the thing that pleases God. You know, as a Christian, think about it. What is our mission here on the earth? Why are we still here? You see all these things on the church billboard, the purpose-driven life. It's like they can't figure out what God wants them to do. And they have to have all these courses on what it is. It's really pretty simple. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And it tells us what to do. To me, it isn't all that difficult. Maybe that's just me. I mean, Psalm 112, verse 1 tells us what the fear of the Lord is. One of the aspects of it. Who's got that? Okay, honey, read verse 1.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments.
Stop right there. Here's a one definition of the fear of the Lord. What is it, honey? A person who what?
Delights greatly in His commandments.
Delights greatly in His commandments. See, you're going to have a desire. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. You're going to have to delight greatly in hearing what God's idea is for my life. If you've already got it planned out, you've already got it mapped out, and you don't need any help, and you don't want any help from God, and you got it all figured out, and this is the job I'm going to do for my whole life, and this is where I'm going, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is what I'm going to do with my day, and all of this, then you're not going to have time for this. And it's not going to speak to your heart. What you've got to do is stop and say, wait a minute, what am I here for? I am here to do God's will. Okay, here it tells us, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. It didn't say the one who fears the Lord is scared to death of the Lord or what He might do to him. It says one who fears the Lord is one that delights greatly in God's commandments. That's what we talked about. And what does it say before that? What happens to this man anyway? He's blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman that delights greatly in his commandments. Can you see this is exactly what Joshua 1:7-8 was saying? He was saying, if you'll get into my word, find out what it says, and then observe to do it, I'll prosper you in whatever you do. Well, the first thing you're going to have to do to spend enough time to find out what God's word has to say in the first place is to delight greatly in his commandments, to really want to know, what does the word say for me? What should I be up to? What is God's will for my life? And that's a person that asks that question, delights greatly in God's commandments. And that's one definition of the fear of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 128, verse 1, and we'll see another attribute of someone who has the fear of the Lord, or this desire to learn God's ways. 128, verse 1. Who's got that? You have it, Seth? Okay.
Yeah. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
Blessed is every... Now, here's that word again. Now, listen. The other one said, blessed is every man, is the man who delights greatly in his commandments, has a desire to learn God's ways. This one takes it one step further. It says the fear of the Lord, and it says the fear of the Lord is one who delights greatly in his commandments. That was Psalm 112. Here it says the fear of the Lord is the one that walketh in his ways. So if you put them both together, here's what God is saying. The person that will be blessed, who has this fear of the Lord, because both of these scriptures mention this fear of the Lord, is a person, first of all, who delights greatly in his commandments, in my commandments, and then he delights in them to the point that he walks in my ways. That means he not only wants to learn what God's word says, he desires to put it into practice. That's the fear of the Lord. Can you see that? That's a definition of fear of the Lord. Number one, desire. Have a hunger to find out what God's word has to say about me and how I should behave on this planet while I'm here. Number two, when I find that out, then put it into practice. God says, you do that, you're going to be blessed. It's just saying the same thing over again that Joshua 1:7-8 says. Only this time it defines this attribute or this desire as the fear of the Lord. All right? Is everybody with me so far? All right. Now turn, we're in Psalms. Turn to Psalm 111, verse 10. It tells you now, it says that we'll be blessed if we have this fear. Now, here's one of the blessings in Psalm 111, verse 10. Steve, do you have that?
Yes.
Read.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
You see how this thing is building here? First, we found out what the fear of the Lord was. One who delights greatly in his commandments, one that walketh in his ways. Now it says here that, again, did you notice in all three of these scriptures, it starts off, blessed is the man who delights greatly in his commandments. All three scriptures said that the one who has this fear is going to be blessed greatly of the Lord. All right? Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. And where am I now? Oh, I'm 11:10. I was on the same page. 11:10. I'm sorry. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right. Once you get this fear, this desire to do things God's way, start doing what God's word has to say, this is the very beginning of receiving something really neat from God. But you're not going to get it unless you take these first steps. And I'll tell you, that's absolute truth. I found out this. You want revelation from God? Everybody does. Every Christian says, yeah, I'd like to have God's special word. I'd like God speaking to me. I'd like, when I get up in the morning and I say, God, what should I do? I'd like to know what God says do. I'd like to know that. Are you willing to pay the price to find out? That's the next question. Well, what's the price? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the thing that comes first. If you got the fear of the Lord, then you're going to get something special from God, and it's called wisdom. How to live your life. How to make a decision on everything that comes up. How to have a special scripture come to you to apply to the situation that's facing you in this day, this hour in your life. You want that? Every Christian wants that. And how do you get it? We just read how you get it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's what it really means to say is the fear of the Lord is the first step to getting special revelation and guidance from God. You want to just put it in the common everyday terms. That's what it's saying. So if you work backwards, you find, well, what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is one who delights greatly in His commandments, then one who walks in His ways. And Joshua 1:8 says it all. That's why God was able to say to me in the very beginning, this is the key right here. Meditate in my word day and night so you know what it says. Delight greatly in my commandments to do that. And then observe to do what you read. That's the one that walketh in his ways. Then you have this fear of the Lord. It's called fear of the Lord. And then I will give you something called godly wisdom. A special kind of wisdom in your life that comes from no other source than the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Does this get you excited? It does me. I mean, this to me shows me exactly, I love it when God says, this is exactly what you got to do to receive something. I like that. And he's telling me here exactly what to do. You need to find out what my word says. You need to apply it to your life. And then when you do that, I call that desire to do that, the fear of the Lord. And when you do that, I promise you that I will begin to slip into your life godly wisdom when you need it. And I have found that to be oh so true. This is what he does. What are the benefits of having this fear of the Lord? Now, I'm not going to turn to all these scriptures, but they're all here. First of all, it says, well, we're right here. Turn to Psalm 25. One of the benefits. What are some of the things the Lord's going to do? 25:12. Okay, read this.
Among us, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose.
All right.
But I think you go on, because it says, they will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the promised land. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him, yet then he shares the secret of his covenant.
Oh, I love that last part.
Yeah.
The secrets of his covenant.
Yeah.
We have a covenant with God. But they're not laying on the surface, some of these things. They're secrets of his covenant, things that God will do, wonderful, wonderful things that he will bring into your life if you have this fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8 is filled with this stuff. Read Proverbs chapter 8. It's filled with what God will do to the one that has this wisdom, what this wisdom really is. Don't you just love this? What is the man that fears the Lord? The one who fears the Lord, this is what the King James Version says, him shall the Lord teach. You know what that says? That says the Lord is not teaching everybody. I hate to say it, but if you go back and read the parable of the sower real closely, you find out the ones that learned what that parable meant were. And I wanted to bring that in tonight, and I hope I still have time for it. There's a secret there. You get the secrets when you really desire to know. You can't just hit this a lick and a miss and say, God, I want to do your will in my life, and you know, and I haven't got a lot of time this morning, I get to work, but you know, I want your will and everything, and I just want you to give it to me all day long, and everything I do be in your will, amen. You know, and go off and just do whatever. You'll never enter into the really secret, wonderful things that God has for you. Because he reserves those for those who will dig into these things and apply themselves to them. That sounds almost like works. But see, it's not works to get saved. But the one who enters into the fear of the Lord, it takes a little bit of desire. It takes some applying of yourself. And parable of the sower explains it beautifully. We'll get to there later. Okay, so what is the man that fears the Lord? That person shall the Lord teach in the way to go. That's what this is saying. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secrets of his covenant, she said. And he will show them his covenant. The secret things will be opened to those who have a desire to learn. We'll get to that later a little bit. Here's another benefit. It's the key to all blessing. If you go back and read Psalm 128, the whole thing, and Psalm 112, the whole thing, you're going to see the wonderful benefits of having the fear of the Lord. Let's just turn to Psalm 112 real quick, and you can read 128 on your own. It's filled with all the things that come from the one who has the fear of the Lord. I've never taught on the fear of the Lord before, but the Lord has just opened it up this week and said, you know, this is the key that so many of my kids are missing, so many of the things I want to give them, because they haven't developed themselves in this to the point where they should. So 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now listen to the blessing. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. If you're having problems with prosperity or something like that, here is a benefit. God says he'll prosper. You know, Joshua 1:8 said the same thing, didn't he? He said, if you'll turn not from to the right or the left, and observe to do all that's written in my word, I will prosper you. You should deal wisely in the affairs of life. It's saying the same thing here. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. God has no problem with us having wealth and riches as long as they don't have us. He doesn't mind you having a nice house and a nice car as long as that's not what you're obsessed with, as long as you're sharing what you have with others, as long as you're tithing and helping build his church. He has no problem with that. A lot of people say, oh, I think he does. He wants to keep us poor because he knows he'll keep us humble. It says right here that if you have the fear of the Lord, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. You have a dark day once in a while, you're going to see light coming pretty soon. You're going to see a way out. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely this person shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Get this. The one who fears the Lord will have no reason to be afraid of evil tidings. Doesn't that sound a lot like 1 John 5:18? He that keepeth himself, the wicked one, touches him not. Evil tidings come from the wicked one. If you have this fear of the Lord, you're not going to be afraid of evil tidings. Because why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And it goes on. You know, I read Psalm 128 too. It tells you some of the blessings. And Proverbs 10:27, let's turn there real quick. We're right there real close. Who's got that? Okay.
Fear the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short.
Read that first phrase real loud.
Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life.
Hello? The fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. Let me say it again. The fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. Who is it up to have the fear of the Lord? Is it up to God or us? Who is it up to lengthen your life? Is it up to God or us? Would you like to lengthen your life on the earth? If you would, here's a way to do it. Get the fear of the Lord.
I'm not
satisfied yet. I don't think it's sunk in yet. The fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. That implies a lot of things. It implies that we have a great deal of control over how long we live. Okay? That it isn't all up to God. There isn't a day that God says, time for you to go home. It's up to us. It says in Psalm 91, with long life, the one that has this fear, will I satisfy him. You don't have to go till you're satisfied. I'm not satisfied quite yet. The fear of the Lord, let me say it again, prolongs one's life. Much better than any medicine you can take is having the fear of the Lord. You want your life prolonged? Get the fear of the Lord. Yes.
Well, talking about long life, you know how the Bible says God wants you to live long and happy life and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So if we are following the Lord, then we will live a long life.
That's what the fear of the Lord is, following the Lord, really. That's just a simple definition of it. Yeah, yeah. That's really what it's all about, is following the Lord.
So if someone's following the Lord, they're going to die at 20.
Right. If they're applying, now it says, remember, fear the Lord, one who delights greatly in his commandments, you know, and who walks in his ways. If he puts into practice what the Lord says in his word, yeah, that's right. Now, it's more than just, now, what was the word you used again for following? A lot of people say, I'm following the Lord just because they're saved. And they are, to a certain extent. We know what they mean. They're saved and they're born again and they're children of God. But following the Lord implies more than just being a Christian. Following the Lord means walking in his ways, doesn't it not? I mean, you can be a Christian and saved and going to heaven and not necessarily following all the Lord's leading in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Well, for example, he may have, I mean, some Christians have never, can live and die and never really enter into what God's perfect will for their life was. Maybe God had a call on their life they never responded to. They're still saved. They're still, say, following the Lord in the sense that they're born again and they love God. But maybe they've never really followed the Lord to the extent that they've really gotten serious with God and said, God, what is it you want me specifically, Mike Fitzpatrick, Seth, whoever, to do with my life? What's your particular... I want to know, God, and I'm not satisfied until I find out what your perfect will is. That's really getting serious with God. That's getting down the nitty-gritty and saying, God, I'm not happy with any life but your perfect will for my life. And I don't care what it is, I want it. Yeah.
Also, he gives us his Holy Spirit to warn us about danger.
Right.
And if we don't heed that warning... He's told us what's coming, what to do, and if we disregard it, our days could be shortened that way.
Right.
Also, they could be shortened by not in the very world. You don't learn the rules and regulations to the point that you're putting these poops out there on the devil. And the bad stuff doesn't come from God, it comes from the enemy. So if you can be a Christian and you can be in line with the devil in a few ways, you don't even fully even choose to follow by that.
Nobody chooses to be under the influence of the enemy and getting hit. But see, without knowing what God's ways are, sometimes we just accidentally are standing out there and a big 18-wheeler devil's coming right at us and we don't even know or what to do, you know? See,
that lack of knowledge.
Yeah, from lack of knowledge. That's one of the reasons. Right. So what we're trying to do with these lessons is find out what it is that we're supposed to do to enjoy this. For keeping ourselves so the wicked one touches us not. And this first step here is what we're talking about tonight. And the first step is something that is more, it's different than the other steps. Because the first step, having the fear of the Lord, is more or less having a heart's desire to really go full bore with God, is really what it amounts to. Without that, none of the rest of it's going to work too good.
It doesn't have to have a mighty heaven in my fear. It can be something you say, I want more. I want more, and you get more. And as you get more, and you realize it's working, then you know more. It doesn't have to be, Mike has always been all or nothing person. But with me, it was more of a growing thing. When I knew I had a need, then I looked deeper into it, that kind of thing. And it will build over your life.
There's still a choice.
Yeah, definitely a choice.
I mean, you know, you can live on the fringes, or you can just say, God, I got one life to live on this planet, and then I'm gone with you forever, and that's going to be wonderful. But while I'm here, I don't want to miss what you've created me for. This is really what we're talking about. And I want you to know, God, Father, that I'm not satisfied with anything less. And whatever it is, I'm willing to do. Now, see, this is a prayer of consecration is what we're talking about here. This is what Jesus did in the garden, really. It's the only if it be thy will prayer that is in the Bible. And it's a prayer of consecration. And Jesus said, you know, this is what I'd rather do, but Father, whatever you want is what I want. And if it be your will I go through this, that's fine. That's what I want. And it's really us coming before God, one of the things, and saying, Father, you know, here I am. I've got one life to live on this planet. I want to live it according to your will, whatever it might be. Now, some people shy away from this. I've talked to some people, and they don't want that. They're not too sure about this. Because they're afraid God's going to ask them to do something that's going to be horribly unpleasant or something like that. But what I have found is that whatever God's will for your life will make you perfectly happy to do it. You may not think it in the beginning, but it will. I mean, you can't be unhappy doing God's will because you've got the Holy Spirit indwelling your spirit. And the Holy Spirit will flood you with the joy of the Lord if you are in His perfect will. Even though at the time you might not think that would happen, it is true. You're not going to be fully, fully happy, I don't think, as a Christian, unless you are in God's perfect will. You won't have that fullness of joy. There'll be joy and things, but to me, you know, it just seems like, what is it all about? You know, what's the mission, Lord? What are we here for? I want to do it, and I want you to tell me what you want me to do, and let's get on with it.
You want to cut to the chase, huh?
Yeah, because I've only, you know, that's what I've seen the Bible saying to me. Do you want to cut to the chase with what I want for your life and enter into some of these things? And I like kind of, to me, it's kind of a challenging thing. There's something about living a little bit on the edge with God where you can't see always way down the road. But knowing you're fully on His promise, It's kind of exciting. You're on his promise, so he can't fail. But yet, you don't know too many people that have gone here before either. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a trust involved. And that's faith, you know. But God's Word, you're on God's Word. And there's an excitement there. You know, I think, to me, life anymore in this world is a lot of things that they've done in this world have taken the excitement out of life that there used to be there maybe 50 or 100 years ago. There was a little more... everything has gotten to be so legalistic and so finely drawn that you can't do this. Well, we can't do that because we'd be sued if we did this. So we can't have this kind of playground equipment anymore. We got to have the slides 2 feet off the ground because somebody might fall off. And, you know, the whole world just seems to be in this, you're in this plastic bubble anymore. And to me, there's a couple of things that enhance living, and that is to be a little bit on the edge. Now, I don't mean this in a bad way. Maybe I'm... Do you understand what I'm saying here a little bit? With God, you're never on the edge of uncertainty, but you're on the edge of what the world is doing. And it really confuses the heck out of the world and some Christians. And I don't mind that. I don't mind being a little odd. Huh? Right. And you know, and in your heart, that God's with you. But it's on the edge, not in the sense that God's not going to protect you, but because... you don't know a whole lot of people who've gone this way before, in a sense, doing it maybe this way, in business or whatever it might be. I mean, you know, I've turned down some big deals simply because God's Word didn't, I mean, it violated some aspect of God's Word. It looked like it'd be a big deal, only to have turned it down and do what God's Word said and find out it got to be a bigger deal, big, good deal, better deal, because I did it God's way, seeing Him work that way. It's a little bit on the edge. Sometimes, like one time, I just... Well, I won't go into that, but Marianne doesn't like to discuss certain things in her personal life. But anyway, it was a great blessing. I mean, great blessings. But sometimes you had to do things at the time that looked like it wasn't going to work out in the world. Say, oh, man, you're crazy. I mean, I've had people tell me, there's no way this can work out because it was God's Word that was on the line. Another reason I guess I like, you know, just in another sense, learning, is that, you know, it's a little bit, you know, you go out there and you run a long race or something like this, and you don't know what you're going to run up against when you're running out there for, you know about that, Brennan knows about that, but, you know, when you start a marathon, it's an adventure. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it's not so safe, I guess, as everyday life is. It's not so cut and dry. You're out a little bit on the edge there, you know. You're trying something that's just about at your limit, you know. To me, that's living. I don't know. You know, these are challenges to me, prolonging my days. Hey, let's go for it. All right, the desire to have to walk in the fear of the Lord or to learn His ways will lead you to study in the Bible. It will lead you there because there is no substitute. There is no other source to go for this knowledge. Say there's something in your life that's bugging you right now, whether it's health, healing, prosperity, finances, kids, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, whatever it might be, how to take care of my kids. You know, that's what I do. Find a subject, and then I'll get a concordance or a main topical Bible or something like that, and I'll read about all the scriptures that it has to say about that. So I find out what my job is, what God says. See, you got to be convinced that God got a really good idea about how to live your life on this earth. He wrote this book. And if we'll apply what's in here, there's nothing that can stop us. Now, I've got that in my mind as a truth. So that leads you to study. If you got that in your mind as a truth, that in this Bible is the answer to every situation that might come up in my life, all I need to do is find out what it says and apply it. That makes you want to study what's in there. More so than just reading self-help books. To me, when I got involved with the Bible, it eliminated all the self-help books. Maybe that's just me, but I figured the one who created me knows all about mine. He knows all about what I need to help me, and He's got the answers right here. He knows much more about me than some PhD that He created. He created all these people to write these books. Nothing wrong with them necessarily, except they take time, and sometimes they don't come to the right answers. But this book always does. What's that? Yeah. Yes. Right. Good word-oriented books.
Yeah.
You know, we'll subdivide it. There's good word-oriented books, and then there's cotton candy books. You ever eat cotton candy? It's very sweet, kind of interesting taste. You lick it, and it dissolves. There's no substance to it. And that's the way a lot of these frothy books are. There's just not much there. And as you mature in the Lord, you're going to find out that your taste for those books that was very high in the beginning goes practically zero. Personally, I think this is very, very important stuff. I hope you agree. You know, it's not just Mike's thing he's doing here. But this kind of stuff we're talking about here, very close to my heart, this is the kind of stuff that I really believe the Lord has worked with over during my entire Christian life, that has been a consistent thrust of God in my life. That's been, you know, really, if I was to sum up everything God has really taught me, I mean, if I had to sum it up in three words, I would say, do the Word. That's really what it's at. Do the Word. Everything flows out of that. So let's continue this next week, okay?
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
First thing we're going to do is go over the homework from last week. So last week we started a new series. Started with the even number 80, nice round number, lesson 80. And we decided to start a series, and I'm praying about this, been praying about it. There's a scripture, 1 John 5:18. And something kind of interesting, very interesting to me. It's something that's intrigued me for years, really. And it's a very simple scripture. It says, if we will do something called keep ourselves, the wicked one will not touch us. Now, I think if you've been in this Bible study for a while, we're kind of all in agreement here that the really bad things in life don't come from God. They come from the enemy. I mean, sickness, all these kinds of things, poverty, all those things, the Bible tells us we were redeemed from that curse. God wants us to have the blessing of Abraham, as a matter of fact. But it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if we'll keep ourselves, even though we're living in this world, if we'll do something called keep ourselves, the wicked one cannot touch us. Would you like to live in a situation, a life where the wicked one, you are out of touch with the wicked one, where he wants to, but he can't get his hands on you? Now, some people I've talked to that, they go, oh, I would never say something like that. He might hear you say that. That shows to me that they need some good teaching in what the Word of God tells them is their authority over the enemy. We should never fear that if we discuss things of God and how to keep his clutches off of us, that he'll hear us and retaliate. He can't. He can't. What that scripture says is he can't really get in our lives unless we let him. Did you understand what that says? If we'll keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. That means it's up to who to keep the enemy from not touching us. It's up to us. And so that makes me wonder, what does this term keeping ourselves mean? Well, of course it means keeping yourself from sin. We all know that. We've been talking about that. But there's some other things involved too. I prayed about this, and I've been praying about this for years, as a matter of fact, because it's such an important scripture. And this didn't come all at once, but over the past several years, I've learned through the Lord, early times in the morning, talking to God and things, what this term keeping himself really means. So there's several steps to it, all right? And last week we covered step one, and we didn't finish, so tonight we're going to finish it. But first thing we're going to do is go over the homework from last week. I'm just kind of giving you just a little bit of review, all right? Now, true or false? 1 John 5:18 says that if we keep ourselves in good shape physically, the devil touches us not. Yeah. Is that what he said? Yeah. He talked to a lot of people about keeping yourself. They think, you know, in shape, you know. No, that's not what it means. A good shape physically. Good shape, what way?
Spiritually.
All right, so that's false. True or false? The fear of the Lord is just that, a fear of what the Lord will do to us if we sin. That's false. We talked about what the fear of the Lord is. True or false? No, the fear of the Lord is simply a reverent awe for God and a desire to learn about God's ways and to do God's will. True or false? True. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True or false? We're going to talk about that more tonight. That's true. This means that the fear of the Lord comes first, and then wisdom comes later. True or false? That's what that really means. Fear, you need the fear of the Lord first if you're going to be wise. And if you're not, if you want to keep yourselves from the clutches of the enemy, out of his power, then you're going to have to be a wise Christian. And the fear of the Lord is the first step. Name two characteristics of one who fears the Lord. All right? Now, last week we gave you a couple scriptures that told you what those were. Does anybody remember what the first one was? Yeah. That's still the second one.
Willing to learn.
Willing to learn. You both have said exactly what they are in different words. And that means we must have done a pretty good job last week. First, number one, Psalm 112 says, the fear of the Lord is one who delights greatly in his commandments. That's what Chuck said. Also, Psalm 128:1 says, the fear of the Lord means walking in his commandments. In other words, doing what the word says, and that's what Steve said. So the two characteristics of one who fears the Lord is one who delights greatly in his commandments, in his word, and number two, who then walks in what that word says. That's what the Bible defines the fear of the Lord as. All right, now this is going to be different than the other steps that we're going to study. And I really feel in my heart that this is the most important step. We're covering the most important one first, because this is the only one that you can't really learn. The thing that you need for this one has to come from deep in your heart. It has to be a desire to walk closer with the Lord. It has to be a desire to do his word. It has to be a desire to say, the mission in life is to find out what God wants me to do and then do it. And that is contained in here. That comes from your heart. I mean, I can sit here in this room and you could get 100 other people come in here, you know, or 51 other people, one for every week of the year, and say the same thing, and it wouldn't do one bit of good, that this teaching, unless somewhere in your heart you said, that's what I want to do. This is one of those things that has to come from within the person. So I've learned this in many years of teaching God's word, that in any group, there's going to be a certain percentage that will do it and a certain percentage that will not do it. I'm just saying I have found that to be, and Jesus found the same thing. In the parable of the sower, he basically said this. You know, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is such an important step, this fear of the Lord. Name three things the Lord will do for one who has this fear. All right? We covered this last week very quickly, but the Bible says, if you have this fear of the Lord, here's what the Lord will do. All right, we found out what it was just a minute ago. Now we're saying, what will the Lord do? What's number one thing he'll do? He what? Gives you long life. Says prolongs your days. That's the same thing. Gives you long life. How many like long life on this earth? I'm not ready to go home till it's time. I'm going to be here a long, long time. Get ready, honey. Okay. He will prolong your days. Now, isn't that interesting? If you walk in the fear of the Lord will prolong your days. It's also the step to keeping the wicked one off your back. You put the two together, and what's that say? The Lord's able to prolong your days because you're doing something that keeps the wicked one from touching you, and he's the one that brings sickness and disease. Name another thing here that the Lord's fear of the Lord will do. A blessing.
Keep us in perfect peace.
Yes. That doesn't come from the scriptures I had, but that's exactly one of them. It's Isaiah 26:3, isn't it? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And that's exactly what the fear of the Lord is, keeping your mind on the Lord, keeping his desires uppermost in your day. That's why I say get up every morning, spend time with the Lord, because if you do that, it kind of sets up your whole day. You start off in a spiritual tone, and you can kind of, it pushes you through the day. Okay, what's another thing? What does Psalm 25 say? What does the Lord do to someone who has this fear? It says, the Lord, do you have it? It's on the other side of the page.
Revelation.
Gives revelation or teaches the one who has this fear. If you're not hearing from God, you might want to just check up on, are you giving the Lord opportunity? It says, the fear of the Lord will cause the Lord to teach you and give you revelation. Psalm 25:12. It's the key to blessing. Look at Psalm 128 and Psalm 112, all of those talk about the blessings of fear of the Lord. Okay? Marianne said it will prolong your days or give you long life. Those are pretty good blessings, aren't they? How about another one? Proverbs 19:23 says the one who fears the Lord will not be visited with evil. That sort of sounds like 1 John 5:18, doesn't it? If we'll keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. And Proverbs 22:4 says the fear of the Lord brings riches, honor, and long life. Again, that long life. All right. True or false? One who fears the Lord will do more than simply read the word. He or she will study the word. True or false? True. You're never going to really get a lot out of the word until you become a studier or a meditator of the word. Just reading your chapter every day, I'm not saying that's a waste of time or anything like that at all, but I'm saying to really hear from the Holy Spirit, when you're reading through the word, as you read something, go, boy, that sure applies to my life right now. Slow down. Really read that very closely. All right. True or false? 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so he won't need to be ashamed. True or false? Is that true or false? It's false. It says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so the workman, us, won't have to be ashamed. Oh, well, maybe you thought I was talking about we and that. Is that what you thought? Okay. I meant to say, we studied to show ourselves approved unto God, so he, capitalized he, won't need to be ashamed. It's us that we need to study the word, so we don't.
Right.
We're not ashamed. As we're all done, we do something and say, oh, man, I wasted all that time because I didn't do it. And the word had it there all the time, you know. But God is not ashamed of us. But he wants us to have the very best. And he's telling us here how to do it. Knowledge is the ability to apply wisdom. True or false? Now, we didn't get to that last week, but it was in our notes. False. Why is it false, honey? It's just the opposite. Wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge you have. Knowledge comes first, then the wisdom. Wisdom is a higher, it's a much higher plane. The knowledge is something that we can get from studying. Wisdom then comes from God, revelation from God, how to apply these things in his word to our lives so we can be blessed. That's a little different, a lot different. What did Jesus make? Well, I tell you what, these next two questions I put on next week's homework because we didn't get to the parable of the sower at all. So I'm going to cover them next week, okay? So you may be ready to answer that. We're going to talk about it tonight, but I'd rather save that until next week. So let's... Any questions? If not, we'll end the homework of last week right now and get into tonight's lesson.